baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
So I left Cabo, Mexico yesterday. Adam, 31 above. Landed Edmonton, where we had parked our cars at the park and fly. Minus 33. Could not get them started. Had to like get an Uber to the Walmart to get booster cables because roadside assistance was like at a 30-hour wait. Like, oh man, things are cold. It's funny for the Fahrenheit folks out there. I have no idea what this translates into for any American or expats out there. I don't know, but it is cold.
Somehow 40 below is the same in both.
Yes.
That's all I know.
That's where the streams cross.
Yeah. This is a perfect analogy, actually, for how Giants fans currently feel.
Oh, my goodness.
Yesterday,
by the way,
plus 31 and beautiful.
Sunny and beautiful. Everything is right with the franchise.
Has frozen over. Oh, my God. Obviously, it's a Blue Jays channel. If you're new here, welcome. We need to talk about this Carlos Correa stuff, though. This is historic.
So wild.
In all of sport, never heard of anything this crazy.
Nothing like this has happened. In fact, waking up this morning to the news that Carlos Correa is no longer a San Francisco Giant and is now a New York Met, it took some real research to kind of figure out the ins and outs of what's going on, because I'm like, has this ever happened? So a few things. Number one, no. This has never happened to this extent in Major League Baseball, where a player has more or less agreed to terms with a team, signed the agreement. Now, that's one thing to mention here. This agreement that free agents sign is not the binding contract until the pending medicals are done. And this is where the bump in the road for the San Francisco Giants hit. Is that Carlos Correa had a red flag, and it, however thorough each organization's medical checkup varies. So for everyone like, well, are the Mets going to be able to pass him? I think the Mets are just going to slide him through.
Yeah, I mean, the be able to pass him, it is, like you said, it's up to each team. It's their own threshold for pain. It's their own. They look at the x-rays, the MRIs, and they go, yeah, it's still good enough.
Yeah.
So
we're all over the place here. So let's start with this. Welcome to the walk-off. We are Toronto Blue Jays Focus Podcast. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. This is our Bet Stamp episode. We are in partnership with Bet Stamp. They are a betting site aggregator. So very much like Trivago, where they're going to take all your hotels and give you the best prices on them at whichever site it is. That's exactly what Bet Stamp does. The code for that, please use walk-off. And if you're going to sign up for any of these affiliate sites while you're betting, if you use the link in our show notes here to do so, that's going to be very helpful to us. Again, line shopping is basically, like I said, they're going to line up all of the sites and they're going to show you which ones have the best odds. Because if you're going to place a bet, you might as well make as much as you can while you're doing it. So let's get back in. Let's get back into Carlos Correa here. And like you said, Adam, it's funny because I even sent a tweet out to our Giants friend who used to follow us on the live streams here at the walk-off, Devil Boy, Devil Gaming Boy was his handle. And he was a diehard Giants fan. And of course, when he was following us in 2021, his Giants were looking darn good. Logan Webb was on the upswing. They were competing with the Dodgers for the World Series and for champion for winning the division, so on and so forth. The Giants were looking great. Big step back last year. It looked like they were going to go out and get a franchise player this year. They were in talks with Aaron Judge. They looked like they signed Carlos Correa, and now they're sitting there with an empty bag. Like, what do the Giants do at this point, Adam?
Well, they're okay. First of all, there's three angles that I want to take on this story. The obvious one is what the F just happened for the Giants. The second angle is how are the Mets doing this? And how does everyone else in the league feel about the Mets at this point? And then the third angle, and we'll get to this at the very end, is what does this mean for the Blue Jays and our shortstop situation? And is there a sneaky deal to be made? I'm not saying we should.
No.
If we were ever going to trade Bo Bichette, is a panicked San Francisco Giants perhaps the best time to swoop in and make a deal?
That is such a great question, man. And again, we will tackle that at the end of this video. But Bo Bichette's value has to be the highest it's ever been right now.
All right, well, let's talk Giants then.
Okay, let's get
their perspective on this, because this is the most disastrous offseason I can think of. This, what's going on for the Giants in reality is how it feels like it's going for the Blue Jays.
Yes.
Right? Like, it feels like we're just missing out on everybody and we can never get them. And Justin Verlander looks at Toronto and then decides to go back to Houston at the last minute. Like, this is the Blue Jays feeling, but this is so much worse. This is, I can't imagine being a Giants fan right now, Scott.
If you are a Giants fan, like, condolences number one. And if you're the San Francisco Giants, like, the big thing that I keep coming back to is, what do you do now? Like, where do you go from here?
Well, if you're a Giants fan, the first thing you do is you cancel that order for your Carlos Correa Giants jersey that you got your son and daughter for Christmas.
How many were bought? Like, that is my question. Like, special ordered Correa jerseys where they're like, no, Correa's jerseys aren't ready yet. We're not going to start selling them officially, but you know they're out there, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, expression. You gotta have it in time for Christmas.
You take that kid's jersey and you don't even tell him about it. You burn it and you never bring or think about it again, right?
Like, oh, my God. Just wild. So,
One thing that when this news first dropped, I couldn't help but think is, how did this play out and what are the rules? When could the Mets start talking to Carlos Correa again? Because news surfaced, I messaged Adam just yesterday with a tweet that was saying there's a bump in the road in the physical. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, listen, they had their press conference announcement. Hey, here's the jersey. We're sitting at the tables together, scheduled for Tuesday. They postponed it. They said,
yeah,
something came up in the medical results. We're just going to hold off on this for a second. And that was enough of a window for him to walk.
And this is the thing. So like we mentioned off the top, there is an agreement signed by the free agent player when all of the term and the money and the no trade and all of that stuff is worked out over the negotiation table. Now, the player is still technically allowed, up until they pass the medical and sign the contract, to be in touch with other teams. Now, the reason most players don't do this is because it looks bad on the agent, looks bad on the agency, and it doesn't inspire any sort of loyalty or trust towards this new franchise player that you're trying to sign.
Especially when you're starting a new 10 multi-year relationship with your organization, you don't really want to start it with, well, hey, but I still might go.
I'm still negotiating over here. I hope that's okay with you. Yeah. But I guess with this medical bump in the road, it was enough of a red flag for Scott Boras and the Boras Corp agency to go out there and rekindle some negotiations that had already gone, had already happened. Now, it had surfaced that the Mets made a last minute push on Correa. No one really took this seriously because it's Scott Boras, and that man is constantly on top of every tall building that he can find, screaming about all the teams that are interested in his players, right? Like, there's always three teams, and then there's a secret team, mystery team comes out of nowhere. And that's what this whole Mets thing felt like. But to see within literally, what was it, 12 hours?
Yeah. Yeah, 12 hours overnight.
To see another mega deal just come out of nowhere. So Carlos Correa goes from making 13-year term with a $350 million payroll, or payout, I should say, to 12 years, $315 million.
So it did cost him $35
million. Cost him a year.
A year, yeah. He's still making big money. Man, the Giants, okay, are we, I know that there are like laws in place that prevent disclosures of medical issues of other people, right? Giants have to.
Can we see what the Giants saw?
Giants have to leak this, like for their own save of face situation. They have to be like,
yeah.
All right, yeah, we lost out on Correa, but like he has 100-year-old kneecaps. Like his elbows are made out of dust and glue. Like there has to be, I know, and I know they can't, and I know that they would get their pants sued off to oblivion. Mm-hmm. But if I'm someone in the Giants organization, I'm sure telling someone like, hey,
why
go leak this to the,
yeah,
to someone with a big mouth, you know what I mean? Like go share a drink with someone and say loudly why Correa failed, because we need to save face here a little bit, don't we,
to the fan base?
That's
right?
What I like mean for, right,
like to the fans, yeah. So let's talk the Mets a little bit. Let's talk what they're doing, because Jeff Passan.
Last question on the Giants thing before we move on.
Yes.
How hard does Correa get booed when he comes back to San Francisco in a Mets jersey?
Oh, I would think he gets booed to no end.
That's,
I mean,
the
he's
booing
still
of all booing, right?
He was still getting booed everywhere he went just for the Astros stuff. I think that this is going to be next level.
Does he get booed harder in LA now or in San Francisco?
Oh, for sure in San Fran.
Yeah, okay.
For
the
sure
whole West Coast Fran. Loves them out
oh,
there.
Oh, the whole West Coast is just like burning Correa jerseys. It's a real. Yeah.
The only way it could have been better is if he went to the Yankees. Well, no, that came out wrong. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Mets. Let's talk Mets and their, I don't know, cue up the Dr. Evil $100 billion meme. But they're spending money I didn't even know existed.
I know. It's absolutely insane. As a baseball fan, no one has seen anything like this in baseball history. It just hasn't been done. There's never been an organization with a eccentric, ego-driven billionaire at the helm. It's just mind-blowing. Listen to this, and we can throw it up here for everyone to take a look. I know Jeff Passan had a tweet about, since free agency began, Mets have signed Carlos Correa, $315 million. Brandon Nimmo, $162 million. $102 million for Edwin Diaz. Justin Verlander winning those sweepstakes, getting him for $86.6 mil. Kodai Senga, $75 million over 5 years. Jose Quintana makes $26 million. They signed Omar Narvaez. Right?
Yeah,
the catcher.
Luck. I'm not bailing you.
Completely. It's so funny too, because I practiced this before I said it, because
I
we're Jay's
John
friends,
John
right?
Heyman's name half the time. Okay, I'm not the guy to bail you out on how to pronounce names. So
yeah, you're a hashtag Heyman guy. Absolutely.
Hashtag Heyman. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, but then they also signed Robertson and Ottavina. Now I'm just completely butchering names I get right all the time. Here we are. It's early here on the West Coast. Of course, West Coast mountain time is what we're saying here. We're in Edmonton, Alberta right now, where it's
everyone
so
who's
cold.
Actually on the
think,
West
guys.
Coast is just shaking their fists at us in Alberta saying, you guys aren't West Coast.
No.
All right.
Basically, the reason I listed all of those players and their salaries is to get to the fact that the Mets have spent $806 million this offseason. Dude, they, after luxury tax, are going to be just under $500 million. Think about the fact that the Toronto Blue Jays are spending the most they have ever spent. They are now ranked number 5, fifth highest spending team in baseball, and the Mets are more than doubling them.
Yeah, that's wild. It's just, it's insanity, Scott.
And this is where my question is to you, Adam, and I'm really curious where you land on this. And everyone listening, feel free to drop a comment here and let us know what you think. Are the Mets, is this a push all in to win now, and then this is going to really screw them down the future, down the road? Or is Steve Cohen such an eccentric, ego-driven billionaire where he's literally going to just pay these monster salaries out, pay them out when these players are no longer of value and re-up? Like, is this going to be a money factory like we've never seen? We're already at that point. Like, because the only way this works, in my opinion, is if they can buy out these contracts. Otherwise, you're stuck with these guys till they're 40. You're just spending like $35 million on Carlos Correa at 38 years old, Francisco Lindor at 38 years old. Like, you're paying Justin Verlander at age 42. Like, at what point does the floor fall out on you and none of these guys hold the value that you're paying them for? Like,
so, okay, I guess point of clarification here, Scott. All these contracts are guaranteed.
Yes.
So this money is being spent by Cohen and the Mets, regardless of any other roster construction. But you're wondering, will these players, will in the year 2030, will we still be watching Francisco Lindor and Carlos Correa
line up the middle,
on the left side of the... Or will they have just been bought out, DFA'd?
Or will they buy them out, pay the full guaranteed money?
Of course. Because there will still probably be hundreds of millions of dollars left on those contracts when they are 35. Do they just eat it, let everybody go? Well, I guess it's going to depend on their farm system, isn't it? It's going to depend on the prospects that they do have coming up. But yeah,
it'll be interesting. Player development is... Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Because I guess you get to a situation where your payroll is still going to be massive, even if you have 9 rookies on the field. Because you're paying all these veterans to play on other teams, essentially.
Yeah.
I guess it's a push. I guess to the go question is, I don't know how they.
How bottomless are these pockets, right?
Yeah, I mean,
we've never seen a team pay tax like this, dude. Like, well, they're paying $111 million in tax, in luxury tax, that aren't even involved in the players' salaries.
Well, what's Steve Cohen's net worth? $16 billion. This is the network.
Also, the question I have is, how much of this money are they getting back? Is he running a deficit? Or are baseball teams lying to all of us and making way more money than they had originally? You know, when they're crying poor, like, I don't know.
Honestly, okay, I would say I wouldn't be surprised if he was losing money. At $500 million, if the Mets only make $300-400 million, I honestly wouldn't be surprised. Now,
can you imagine if this is like a toy to him and he just gets bored and 3 years out, he just sells the Mets and then they're freaking screwed forever?
Well, I mean, it could be. I would say at $16 billion net worth, and I know that that doesn't mean that's how much he has freely available to spend, right? That's tied up in businesses and real estate and whatever rich people spend their money on, you know, fancy jeans with bedazzled seams and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I would say he's got a pretty long runway, though. If we're like, we're not talking about a guy with $6 billion or $4 billion who's spending, you know, 25% of his net worth. This, like, he just has such, like, the difference between $500 million and $16 billion is decades long.
Yeah.
I don't know. I absolutely would not be surprised if he spent like this until he dies on this team, until he gets a World Series.
And if that's the case, what does baseball do? Like, can it?
Yeah. No. They approach where does Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and they go, hey, do you guys want to buy Oakland?
Oh my God, just the billionaire league.
Yeah. Well, it already is, so why pretend it isn't? All right.
So let's wrap up on this, talking a little bit of Blue Jays, because this does make you open your eyes pretty wide if you're a Blue Jays fan at the obvious value Bo Bichette now has league-wide.
Yep.
I'm not saying that Bo Bichette is Carlos Correa, but he is damn well Dansby Swanson, right? Like, Bo Bichette has value right now, especially the fact he's still under control, under contract until 2026, so there are still three more years on him. He has led the American League in hits both last year and this year. His OPS plus by the end of the season was absolutely phenomenal. And I mean, if Bo Bichette is September Bo, or even a shadow of September Bo for the whole season, look out.
Okay. Clarification. You say Bo Bichette is not Carlos Correa, but he sure as heck at least Dansby Swanson. What are you basing that on? Offensive production, defensive production, where are you pulling your comparison from?
And I like that you slowed me down here. So let's just take a look at some of the high-end shortstops out there. One of the biggest things with Carlos Correa and Dansby Swanson, for that matter, is their defensive prowess. Both of them are exceptional shortstops at playing the position. This is without a doubt Bo Bichette's biggest Achilles heel. He continues to struggle with that throw across his body, hitting first base. And it's not an arm strength thing, because when he's on the move, he seems fine. But as soon as that he has to stop, plant, and throw, look out, right? And this has been a struggle he has had for years. I guess what I'm saying is, money-wise, I think Bo Bichette right now on the open market would get a Dansby Swanson deal, where it's around $200 million, a little under that. 7-8 years.
We got to have Joel back on, because Joel is a massive believer in everything Bo Bichette is and does. I mean, looking at games played for Carlos Correa, he misses time. Bo Bichette, so far, he's not really missing time, right? And what do they always say? The best ability is availability.
And that is a really great point, Adam, that I don't think enough people give Bo credit for. If you look at his games played last year, I think it was 159. I think he played 160 the year before. Like, he's on the field playing shortstop for this Toronto Blue Jays team every single year, or every single game, I should say. Mm-hmm. And there is major value to having that cornerstone there, to having that breath of fresh air that you just don't need to worry about who you're going to put at shortstop, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is one thing, you look at the center field position with these Blue Jays and you're like, who's playing center field? Kevin Kiermaier every game, I guess, right now it looks like it. How much time is George Springer going to get there? Like, there are question marks. Is Whit Merrifield going to see time in center this year? But there's no doubt in Blue Jays fans' mind that Bo Bichette is playing shortstop. Now, sure, there are Blue Jays fans out there who, despite that, no doubt, aren't thrilled he's at shortstop, would rather see him move to second base, but that's irrelevant for this talk.
So, there has been talks, I'm not inventing this, so don't shoot me, about the Blue Jays moving on from Bo Bichette via trade, right? This was brought up a little bit last year before the Juan Soto trade, and then once the Juan Soto trade to the Padres really started to pick up steam, so did the talk about, well, Blue Jays should do the same with Bo Bichette.
And a lot of it stemmed from all the rumors that Bo Bichette wouldn't re-up his contract. Right.
That he was
wouldn't extend
on his way out anyways. Might as well get the most you could for him. So with that in mind, I'm looking at a Giants team right now, Scott, who went into this offseason expecting to make a big step forward.
Mm-hmm.
They missed out on Aaron Judge. They went hard for Aaron Judge.
Yes, they did.
They offered him, went back to the Yankees. They thought they were getting Carlos Correa. we know how that
announced. Announced.
Yes.
They were getting Carlos Correa.
We're buying jerseys just in time for Christmas. Okay. And now to have that rug pulled out like some sort of crypto scam, it's been pretty devastating. There's not a lot of options left. I mean, we're looking at like Nathan Eovaldi is maybe the best free agent available. Giants already have like seven starting pitchers. There's no need to get Nathan Eovaldi. Or you're looking at Michael Conforto, who hasn't played baseball in over a year.
In 2 years, yeah.
Maybe this is the panic time where they're like, we needed a star player. We anticipated a superstar shortstop to sell to our fans. Maybe the Blue Jays come in and go, hey, here's Bo Bichette. You were mentioning Logan Webb before we went on the air. Maybe there's a deal to be made where
maybe there's a deal to be made with the Giants.
Spend and pay over value on. I mean, the haul would have to be astronomical. I know that
it would need to be. It would need to be big. It would need to be a win now move for the Blue Jays as well, right? Like, there's no use in moving Bo Bichette in a year that you are at least telling all your fans you're competing for a World Series. Moving one of your top offensive players after already moving one of your top offensive players in Teoscar Hernandez only a couple months ago.
To be clear,
I mean, it doesn't look very good if you're not.
I'm not saying
all back.
I'm not saying we should trade Bo Bichette to the Giants. I'm just saying if that is the plan to move him in the next 12 months and to maximize the return. This may maximize the return if you get someone in a panic move like the Giants currently are.
Especially
is there another franchise more panicked right now than the San Francisco Giants? I guess that's my way of putting this.
I would hope not. Like
maybe the Yankees. Maybe the Yankees look at what's going on across the street and go, we're only spending $300 million.
But Adam, the Yankees panic so much that it never feels like they're actually panicking, right? Like Yankees fans are in full panic mode pretty much from the time the season starts until the time the season starts, like a full circle of just panic. So I don't know, man. Like, I would say without a doubt, it's got to be the Giants fans that are going through the hardest turmoil right now. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Just in time for Christmas. What a heartbreaker. Should we wrap it up there? Acknowledge the fact that we did not do a mailbag yet this week.
We did not. Again,
we are going to do it this Friday. You were on holidays. Yeah. That's understandable. Mailbag this Friday. We don't anticipate too much news over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We are going to still come out with content when there is content to be made, but I don't think either of us really care to speculate on some rumor that a Twitter fan with 72 followers dreamt up in their fever dreams. So that's not the if that's what you're looking for, we're not the channel for you. Boneheaded opinions and stupid jokes going off the rail quickly, that's the channel we are. So
by the way, everyone, I do want to just quickly thank you all who have subscribed to the Clip channel. We were only a couple months ago starting fresh with this Clip channel, and we're almost at just under 700 subscribers. We're making a push to hit 1,000 before 2023. That's the goal. We're close. We need some big subs here in the next 10 days. So if you have yet to subscribe and want to help the channel, that would be a big help. We thank you all for listening. You can always reach out to us for mailbag on Friday by DMing us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. You can join the Discord. There's all sorts of talk going on in Discord right now, especially after this Steve Cohen madness and re-upping on another mega $300 million deal, just insanity. So feel free to join that. That's in the link for that is in the show notes. That's always free. And a big thank you to all those who have joined the Patreon. I know we had a couple new members join. Very, very thankful for that.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Oscar with a drive. Jesus Cracker shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.